from sin, that we could have salvation and be with you eternally. Help us to ponder that today and lean into your love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful song. Today you might just want to do that. If you're troubled and burdened, you might just kind of lean in a little bit and lean into Jesus. We're going to be in Acts 16 almost all day today. I'm not going to jump around much at all because there's several things within that text that we need to refresh or learn up on. So Timothy joins Paul and Silas. Last week, Ephraim talked about a little dispute and a little changing, and Paul and Barnabas kind of split apart. So they both went on separate journeys. They both taught the same thing. And it was over John Mark, a young man that they had brought that kind of abandoned him. And previous to that, Andy talked about the first part of Acts 15, the council in Jerusalem, where they came together to talk about this word circumcision. But Andy said we could say circumcision, circumcision. It's okay to talk about it. That's Andy, not necessarily me. I still get a little bit embarrassed about that. Some people would say that's just a small surgery. It really doesn't hurt him at all. You know what? I got a grandkid that went through that. He didn't walk for a whole year. Yeah, you're catching on. Okay. My dad always said there's no little surgeries. Okay, so they were in Jerusalem. They went to Antioch. That's about 300 miles. And I figured 10 miles a day walking without the cart trail and the paved road. Some could do 20. But either way, it's 15 days or 30 days just to get to there. And then today we're going to end up in Philippi. Months. Months. I don't know if Timothy knew what he signed up for. And he probably really didn't talk to John Mark. But the neat thing I see that Paul is always wanting to have a young man to come along so that they can learn, be a disciple. I've had the blessing of having several young, I always seem to be 18, 19-year-olds go to Haiti with me to soften this old man up and to me to learn from them. So in Acts 16, we see that choosing of Timothy. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess. That's a good thing. And a believer. That's a better thing. But, sometimes a but gets in the way, but whose father was a Greek. Nah, he was kind of, you know, so-so. But he was the man of the house. He was the ruler. He didn't let Timothy be circumcised when he was young. So the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. What was the journey all about? Council in Jerusalem. You don't have to be circumcised to be a Christian. That's a good thing. No longer do you have to be circumcised. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to do that to become a Christian. That's what they're going to go tell people. So now they want to take Timothy along on this trip to tell people you don't have to be circumcised to be a Christian. But by the way, because your dad's a Greek and you've not been circumcised, we'd like you to be circumcised. And he's not 8 days old. To me, that would be a big issue. You know, just a trifle thing. You're 17, 18, go ahead and get circumcised so you can go tell other people they don't have to be circumcised. That's a puzzler for me in the Bible. I'm like, I don't know about this. What are we going to do? We're going to go tell people you don't have to be circumcised, but you want me to be circumcised. Yep, you got it. So any of you who went to Haiti with us, we say when we go over there, one of the things we want to teach is ladies don't have to wear a dress to go to church. They can wear pants, they can wear shorts, but we'd like you to wear a dress if you come to Haiti with me. Just, you know. So what are we going to tell them? You don't have to wear a dress to go to church, but if you go with us, we'd like you to wear a dress so you can tell them they don't have to wear a dress. And you guys with tattoos, you can be a Christian. If you want to be real nitpicky about that, it's in Leviticus 19, says don't do the tattoo thing, but it also says don't shave your beard, don't shave the edge, so you're on, buddy, you got it here, and I don't, I'm going to hell, according to Leviticus 19. Also says don't wear two kinds of shirts, you know, cotton and something else, don't plant two different veggies. So read the whole context, just don't read that part about tattoos. So tattoos can be okay. But if you go to Haiti with me, I'd like you to cover them so you could tell people that they can go to church with a tattoo. What are you talking about? Same thing Paul was talking about. You become all things to all people that we might win some to Christ. It's called submission. Some people won't listen to you if you're wearing shorts or slacks. But once they listen to you and they know how much you care and love them, then they'll listen to you and then they'll realize, I can go to church with slacks all the time you're wearing a dress. So, and that's kind of, so that's what that's all about. But it's called submission, and I think it's something we've forgotten when we become Christians. When we say, Jesus is the Lord of my life, that means we're supposed to submit underneath him. If he asks us to do something, just do it. And the world would be a whole lot easier place if we would do that. So they went on, and the churches were strengthened and grew daily in numbers. And Paul's got this vision. He wanted to go into Asia. And it seems like God was putting a roadblock up there. And just every time he went, the doors were closed. And I'll tell you, if God closes the door, he'll open a door for you. I've done several mission trips. My granddaughter always say, well, Grandpa, if God wants, you'll do this or that. Well, after I drilled a couple of wells, I knew how to drill wells. I'd just get a bunch of equipment. We go to Haiti, we're going to drill wells. Well, this one year, we asked three or four people, and we just couldn't give a well away. And my wife kept saying, you better pray. I think God's trying to tell you something else. I'm like, woman, what do you know? I'm a well driller here. And so finally people kept saying, this guy needs a house. Well, we weren't there to build houses. We were there to drill wells. We ended up building this house. The guys, the masons, messed up the mortar joints. They were this high instead of that high. Instead of the house being 8 foot tall, it was 11 foot tall on one side, 15 on the other. I thought it was a waste of blocks. I was really kind of upset about it. And we didn't drill any wells. And I thought, boy, what good was that trip? So 2-3 years later, a youth group went in and trying to have things for them to do. So I had this really tall house. It's 10 by 12. It's 11, 12 foot tall on one side, 15 on the other. I said, well, build a college dorm in there at 7 foot. They're all short. Just build a dorm in there, make like a two-story wood inside there, and it gives you something to do when you're out of my hair. And I went and drilled wells that year. And so I thought, well, at least I drilled a well or two. So we get home, and 2 years later, Hurricane Jeannie comes, and the floodwaters in Haiti rose to 7 feet from like the bay in Traverse City to Chum's Corners. I don't know how you can put that much water into an area, 7 foot all over, and there's an ocean in front of you. That husband and wife and their three children climbed up in that loft and were saved because God had a plan to build a house about 6 years earlier. So when God closes one door, he'll open another, but we have to be willing to go through it. So anyways, they couldn't get there. They go to Macedonia, and then they end up in Philippi, and they went expectantly to this river, down in verse 13. On the Sabbath, they went out the city gate to a river where they expected to find a place of prayer. And I'll tell you, with God, we need to expect that. Everybody's got problems. We know about the solution. So when we go to some place, pray expectantly that they'll be receptive to what you have to tell them. That if they think they got it washed up first, well, look at my life. God did something with me. He can also do something with you. We're all a mess, but God is the one in charge of cleaning this up. So I think of this. They went to a river. I took a young 19-year-old with me one time. He wanted to do urban ministry. He just wanted to go to the cities. Well, I'm a country boy. And so we were there and we got to this point, and I said, hey, Dylan, we're going to the river today. He said, I don't want to go to the river. I want to go to the town. I said, well, tough, we're going to the river. You learn to submit if you go with me. I just kind of, you can say what you want to, and then I'll just say, well, this is what we're going to do. So we get on a bike, we go to the river, and there's somebody fishing there and somebody washing clothes, and this guy comes up and says, hey, I just feel dirty. Can you help me? I said, Dylan, there you are. I'll be your translator. He said, I came to town last night, and I stayed in this woman's house, and I slept with this woman, and now I just feel terrible. I just feel filthy. What can I do? And I said, Dylan, go, man. You teach, and I'll translate. He taught him. The river was there. The guy repented of his sins. He went down on the river, was baptized. He came back out, and he was gone. I never seen him again. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for food. He just really wanted Jesus. It's one of the purest conversions I've ever been a part of. Well, anyways, Paul was at this river, and he speaks to Lydia and their household. They all accepted the message, and they were baptized. And Lydia then, a brand new Christian, has this gift of hospitality. And it's just amazing that Lydia offered them into their house, said, come on to my house, and she'll take care of you. And Lydia,
you all are going to travel real soon, and this guy knows how can tell you how to be saved. You all are going to come into a lot of money, and he can tell you how to be saved. I wouldn't plant those crops just yet, but he can tell you how to be saved.
Get out of her. Go. You can kind of imagine what Paul thought. He's standing in the market, and this crazy lady comes running through, telling some truth, but then her actions aren't living up to the truth she's saying. And that's another confusing part of Acts 16. It's like, why'd he tell her? Well, he didn't tell her. He told the demon in her to get out. And it did. It obeyed him. But the demon, out of one side of its mouth, was saying something good. Paul can tell you how to be saved. But on the other side, it's telling fortunes and making a great deal of money for her owners. That's a troubled witness. God really can't use a troubled witness. I look at my own life, and there's been several times I've been a troubled witness. Out of one side of my mouth, I can say, Jesus saves. He saved me. Yet my actions haven't always followed up to that. And God wants 100% of us. So I'll give you one illustration. There's many, but we do have to quit sometime today. So I'm confessing sins here. I've done this before. Back in the day, I was a Christian. I was very excited. I'm telling people how they can become a Christian. And I have a boat for sale. Guy comes to my house, never seen him before. He wants to buy my boat. And I say, okay, we agree on a price. And I say, okay, $800. But you know, if you want to, you can give me $750 for the life jackets and the anchor. And you can buy the boat for $50. Wink, wink. Because that way you don't have to pay taxes on everything. Clever fella I am, right? You know, you could kind of, you know, the government, they, after all, they got enough money, you know. So the guy says, no, just give me a receipt for the full $800. So then the Christian comes out in me. So you're new in town, are you? Yep. I'm about to invite him to church. So what do? I'm the new state policeman. Get paid by the state. I'm Dean Ferrier. Go to Lutheran Church. No, I didn't say any of that. I mean, I'm like, whoa. I didn't invite him to heaven. I didn't invite him to church because my witness at that moment did not match with what wanted to come out of my mouth. I'd have been like the slave girl. But what about the rest of me? What about the rest of you? Does our witness match up? Are we caught in adultery? Excessive drinking. We won't drinking. There's no sin in that. But the drunkenness. A drunk will not enter the heaven. But neither will the gossip. The one who said, did you see those tattoos? Honey, the tattoos are okay. Don't worry about that. Read the rest of Leviticus. But the gossip will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So how can you gossip and then invite someone to church? It doesn't always add up. And I really could care less if you invite somebody to church. I have to keep correcting myself for that. You want to invite people to heaven. Because I've stayed a few nights in the garage and it didn't make me a car. So just coming to church isn't going to make you a Christian. Sorry if some of you got drugged here and you thought it was going to be magic. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to submit to God. We have to want that in our lives. So the slave girl's testimony didn't add up. So Paul commanded the demon in her to come out of her. Her owners lost a great deal of money. The world will tolerate Christians until we step on their toes. You know, I think we should love everybody and not tell a lie to anybody. That's hard to do. When someone's trapped in sin, we love them, we want them to come out of it, but we also have to be bold and love them enough to tell them the truth, how they can come out of that sin. Of the Ten Commandments, there's only about half of one that the world would even closely come to agree with. Thou shalt not kill, unless we're not talking about infants. We could get into discussion about that. But the other ones, my goodness, the world is just, remember the Sabbath? Why would you rest? That's a day to party hardy. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And then Jesus said, you can't even look at a woman lustfully? She's a bunch of prudes. And then, thou shalt not murder. But if you hate your brother, you're already a murderer. Jesus actually made them harder than they were. Thou shalt not lie. The world doesn't want any part of that until their world falls apart. And now let's pray. Who are you praying to? Does God recognize your voice? Bad company corrupts good character. So, the world won't tolerate us when we tell them the truth until they're broken and they need a Savior. So after the owners realized they weren't going to make any money off the slave girl, they beat Paul and Silas. That's the first thing you do when you disagree with someone. You just beat them first and ask questions later. You know, so they beat them up, not realizing Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, which that was against the law. And they threw them in prison, and they said, put them in the inner stocks. And the jailer fastened them in there, made it secure. And in my mind, I think Paul kind of looks over to Silas and says, hey, bud, how you doing? How you feeling? Silas says, I feel beat. You'll get that tonight. They beat him up. They threw him in jail. How you feel? I'm feeling beat. Okay. All right. That's an Andy joke. He told me to put one in there. All right. There you got it. Okay. I'm feeling beat. So they're in there. And after being flogged, about midnight, they're praying and singing. And I have a hard time fathoming that. But just, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. That would be kind of tough after you just got the living daylights beat out of you. But they suffered for Jesus, and they accounted themselves worthy for that. But because of that, then there was a silent, or a violent earthquake. It wasn't silent, it was violent. And I've only been near a small tremor. But when the earth shakes and your knees kind of go and you're like, whoa, what was that all about? I've seen the aftermath in Port-au-Prince when five-story buildings just collapse one on the other and they look like steps. That gets your attention. Well, right then the jailer couldn't imagine what was happening. All of the chains came loose on the prisoners. He called for lights and he grabbed his sword and was about to kill himself. Why? If a Roman soldier lost a prisoner, first he would be tortured in the worst way you could imagine, and then they would kill him. And that is just a rule. So no one stole Jesus' body. There were 16 soldiers that lost their life because they lost that. When Paul was shipwrecked, they were going to kill them, all the prisoners, so they didn't want to lose anybody. That's a fact. If a Roman soldier loses his prisoner, death comes to him after torture. But when Paul said, we are all here, don't harm yourself, he fell down trembling and said, what must I do to be saved? That's the question for us. What must I do to be saved? The first thing we got to understand is, I have never saved anyone, nor can I, nor can you. Only Jesus does the saving. Some other people have planted, some have watered, but God adds the increase. So here we come to this point, what must I do? The jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas told them and his family, and at that hour they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word, because you can't believe the word until you hear it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. So we have to preach the word to them. When they heard that, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his home and set a meal before them, and the whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. Now, I don't think the Romans or any place else, even Alabama, doesn't think it's a good idea for the jailer to take the prisoner out for a joyride. We've just learned that recently. That's a bad joke. But it's true. The jailers are not supposed to take the prisoners out for a little tea party. But at that point, the jailer realized these men could tell them how to be saved. And he must obey God and not men. So while he was there, at that hour, they were all baptized. How? Why? Because it's part of salvation. In your bulletin, I put a lot of verses in there you can look up later. I did that just so if you were wandering, at least you'd be wandering in the Bible. So that's a good thing. But in Acts 9, when it talks about Saul's conversion, I have two questions there. And these are right now, you can fill them out. I just did this at a preacher seminary. And of the 9 preachers that were there, only one got the first answer right. And on the second one, only one got the answer right. So if you don't get the answers right, it's just important you leave with the right answers. So there are multiple guesses. It's pretty easy. The first question goes like this. Where was Saul, or Paul, saved? Where were his sins forgiven? And the answers run something like, in Jerusalem, on the road to Damascus, or on Straight Street in Damascus. And you have to pick one quick. A, B, C, just pick one. Okay, now here comes the answer. The answer is C, on Straight Street in Damascus. Don't be upset. You've heard it on the radio, you've heard it on TV all your life, that it says, on the road to Damascus, Paul was saved. He was not. He still had his sin. We need to look that up in Acts 9, you'll find the answer. He did see Jesus there. Now the second question goes like this: who told Saul or Paul the gospel message? Is the first one Jesus or another evangelist? You have to ring in one of the two. Okay, if you chose Jesus, you were wrong. Now, here enters Gene McLean. Gene McLean's a good friend of mine. He taught me this. It really ties into evangelism and discipleship. He says, Jeff, don't be a hammer grabber. What do you mean, Gene? He said, you're teaching a kid how to pound a nail. And he starts pounding, it goes a little crooked, and you grab the hammer from him. You say, no, it's like this. Use your whole arm, not just your wrist. Use it, and take the whole end of that hammer. If you want it this short, cut the rest of it off, right, Cecil? If you're going to hand off, get the whole thing and use your arm on that. You give it back to the kid, and he goes like this. He said, no, give me that hammer. Gene said, don't do that. Teach him how to do it. Let him make his mistakes. He's going to have some mistakes, but so did you. The same thing goes with preaching. The same thing goes with the missionary. Same thing goes with everything. We need to bring young people up to take our place, and they're never going to do it if we don't let them have a chance to cook and burn a few things. Gene McLean. Don't be a grabber. Don't be a hammer grabber. Once Jesus taught the disciples how to teach others how to become a Christian, you'll never see in the Bible where Jesus came in and told someone how to become a Christian. He gave that job to us. And he trusts us to deliver the message accurately and truthfully with love. So he called Ananias. He said, Ananias, you're trained. Go talk to Saul. Ananias thought, God, maybe you've been on vacation. This guy's really mean. He's been persecuting the church. God said, go. He's my chosen instrument. He will suffer much, but you go and tell him what he must do to be a Christian. Now, Paul had already been there, or Saul had been there, for 3 days. He neither ate nor drank, and he prayed the whole time. So just fasting and prayer will not take your sins away. Then Ananias came to him and said, Brother Paul, why do you wait? That could be a question for some of you today. Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. Once we realize Jesus paid the debt for our sin and that we're a sinner, if you want to submit to him, there's no waiting for Easter. There's no waiting for your mom to be here, because it's not about you and your mom. It's about you and your Father. Today's the day of salvation. Right now is the time. If someone wants to do that, we're ready now. Right now, I'm flexible. And we'll just do it now. The other stuff is just fluff, or somebody else can do it. But today, if you want to do it later, but now is the time for salvation. So that's why, that's how, that's who. The jailer and his family were baptized that hour of the night. They put a meal before him. Again, I think that's breaking the rules, but it's hospitality. Then he brings them back to jail, which is just crazy in my mind, too. It's like, man, get out of there. Get out of Dodge. Run. He went back to jail because there's this little nitpicky thing. You beat a Roman citizen. So in the morning, they come by and they said, go in peace. We just beat the crap out of you, but go. Have a nice day. And Paul says, oh, no. You might not have realized it, but I'm pulling the Roman card now. You beat me up, and that's against the law because you never tried me first. You're going to have the magistrate come down and talk to me, and then I'll go. So the magistrate come down, appeased him, said, would you please leave now? So he did. And they went right back to Lydia's house. The brand new convert, they gave her hospitality to them. So the message of Acts 16. Have you submitted? Because once you do, everything else will just fall into place. Have you submitted to Christ? Do you recognize he's your Savior? There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except to the Father. John 8:32 says, if you hold to Christ's teaching, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what we want, is freedom. But I want to be a slave for Jesus. If you're going to be a slave for somebody, it better be for Christ. Not to drugs or alcohol or porn or the internet, anything else. Time is short. And Haiti, I'm much more brutal because it's a very brutal country. So you can go down to the morgue right now. How old are you? Pick an age, whatever your age is. Ask the person in the morgue in Haiti. Is there a 15-year-old there? They'll say, yes, there is. Is there a 10-year-old? Yes, there is. Is there a 5-year-old? That one's safe. How about a 30-year-old? A 40-year-old? A 50? A 60-year-old? Yeah. The question is, before they died, did they die to Christ? Did they surrender? Because age isn't part of the issue. It's not like, well, when I get done with college, I'll become a Christian. It's not like, well, after I'm married and have a house, I'll become a Christian. Today is the day of salvation. Recognizing that Jesus Christ opened his arms up for you and died on a cross. He was the ultimate soldier. Some might die for a friend. Jesus died for his enemies. We were still his enemy when he went to the cross. And he poured out his blood that we could be forgiven. The only response to that is, I want to submit the rest of my life to you. There's your opportunity. And he talked about becoming a Christian and being a Christian. How's your witness? If you're already a Christian, would you hesitate to invite someone to heaven? And would your lifestyle reflect what would be in heaven? Or would you say, I'll sell you that life jacket and anchor for $750. That's the last time I cheated on a title. Yeah, and it still hurts when I have to pay that. And I still think they got enough money. But I do realize that Jesus also said, support the authorities and pray for them. The answers are in the book. We just don't read the book enough. We need to get back into the Word, but we need to be in relationship. So today, if you have a need, any need, if you got any questions, I don't have all the answers, but Jesus does, and I can lead you to Him. And some of them are really difficult, and some of them are very hard, but He's our Father, and He wants to bring you up on His lap, and He wants to hold you and bring you back home. He's not that mean dad that maybe beat you. He's a loving Father, and there's a difference. He wants to hold you and nurture you and bring you back to your wholeness, to that beauty that He created you to be. He has a place for each one of us. He's calling us today to that. So today's the day. Go out and live it. Be a witness for Him. If you've never done it, if you've never entered into that, if you're on the road and you want to get the rest of the way, there'll be someone here to pray with you later. And if you want to make that decision to be baptized, that's part of your walk with Christ. We're ready to help you with that too. Let me pray. If you got any questions, come. The biggest thing is, don't leave here without Jesus. If you came here looking for Him, yeah, He was in this building until the last person leaves. But when the last person leaves, He ain't here. And He'd love to go home with you. He'd love to have you open your house. Let me pray. Oh God, I thank You so much for Your love. I thank You beyond measure, Lord, what You've done for us. I just thank You for the words that prick our souls and the truth that comes and lets us know maybe we've wandered from the path. Lord, help us to come back to dead center with Jesus right in the middle of the road. Help us to follow Him, Lord. And by doing that, we'll be in eternity with You. We thank You for the gift of life. Help us, Lord, to live every minute of it, to bring others into Your grace. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.